Tansay, hello and welcome. This is Daniel Barker-Tremblay here for 89.3 The Raven, and I have the honor and privilege of sitting down and speaking with none other than WWE Hall of Famer Rob Van Dam, who is going to be coming down to Edmonton, Alberta at West Edmonton Mall for the West Edmonton Mall Brawl for August 17th. That's going to be happening at the Ice Palace, in accordance with Love Pro Wrestling, as he's going to be doing a meet and greet, and maybe, who knows, we'll maybe even see him in action. You never know. Welcome to the show there, Rob.
Thank you very much. I want to say hello to all my fans in Canada and anywhere else if they can pick this up. I'm looking forward to coming in to Edmonton. It's been a while since I've been there, and I'm looking forward not just to seeing my Van Dam fam in Canada, but also this mall sounds like a pretty cool place to visit.
Let's talk about the West Edmonton Mall Brawl. So, like, how did this all come about with your connection with Love Pro Wrestling, and how excited are you to be, you know, within the event to meet a lot of the wrestling fans here in Edmonton?
This is part of what we do in the industry of pro wrestling, which I'm still going. It's been, 35 years now since I got in professionally. So, you know, all along the way, besides getting in the ring and having our matches, doing autographs, taking pictures with fans, doing just publicity, meet and greets, it's always been like a big part of it. So it's always been like one of my favorite parts too. Something I'm apparently really good at, because I enjoy meeting with people. So even like at the WWE big events, I would always volunteer when they had, whether it was radio contest winners, or maybe sometimes it was the special needs people, whatever, but they would sometimes need wrestlers to pull them out of the dressing room for a few minutes to go meet somebody. And I always volunteered. I'll always say at the beginning of the day, I'd go up to Tim White or whatever agent was in charge, and I would say, "You got any meetings today?" You know, and because it's a break for me, you know, we were in the dressing room enough, and it's good to get the feedback from the fans and see what they have to say. And when you're RVD, you get to hear how much you've impacted their life in a positive way, and that goes a long way.
When you come down to West Edmonton Mall and you're here for the meet and greet, a lot of the people, you know, in Edmonton, we all have a little bit of mixed feelings, because we're like, man, I want to go see RVD and everyone loves you, but all the people want to know is are you going to get in that squared circle and wrestle in West Edmonton Mall and put on one hell of a show in West Edmonton Mall here in Edmonton?
Yeah, I can tell you clearly that is not part of my plan. You never know when I get there, you know, after meeting everybody, and you never know what's going to happen. That's part of the fun at these wrestling shows. And we can say what we want about the good old days, but fact is, I think it's as big or bigger than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Fans love the new product, even if they want to complain about how it could be better or whatever. They're still buying tickets. They're still having a great time. And the events are getting, you know, they went from 1 day to 2 days when it comes to a lot of them. You know, I mean, there's Mania. And SummerSlam is now almost as big as Mania as far as all the stuff they do. It has made the path that it has, there's people like me that can explain my perspective of going through that path, and it's cool, and it's history, and it's in a good place now, and I'm happy to still be in it and be able to still go. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of talent we have there in Edmonton. I don't know if there would, if there would be any necessity that would warrant RVD stepping into the ring, but not planning on bringing my boots.
My first introduction to wrestling was with you wrestling John Cena back at ECW's One Night Stand, where, you know, even with a little help from outside help from Edge, Spirit of Through a Table, you came out on top, winning the WWE title and being the first ever wrestler holding the ECW championship and the WWE championship. take us back to that moment, and like, what did that feeling feel like, just being in that crowd and that energy, hoisting that WWE title over your head in that very moment, and was ECW's last pay-per-view?
Sounds like you started at an incredible time. This is a really historical moment. The ECW is where I cut my teeth, so to say. This is where I really put it together, definitely where I became a superstar. And ECW was no longer around, and I talked to Vince McMahon about doing an ECW show just one night, like a pay-per-view, let us wrestle ECW style, because the style was so different than the mainstream wrestling that, you know, has to cater to the sponsors and hits more of a general crowd that includes children and people of all ages. ECW was kind of ultra violent, aimed more at adults, and it was a total different style, and Vince loved the idea. And for me and most of my peers too, if not all of them, all of us that were in ECW would say that was like our favorite, most fun time out of our career. And so we remained ECW for the rest of the, you know, ECW in 2001 went under. And still today, like, fans will chant ECW when one of us original ECW wrestlers are in the ring. People loved it. We loved it. We did the pay-per-view, and I was definitely the best foot to put forward representing the company. And, man, you know, ECW means no rules. So you're right. I wasn't happy about Edge interfering, but I didn't mind the results from it. And that was definitely that was definitely, for me, like, the highlight of my career. Not just because the match was so damn good. The crowd never could be duplicated. They were 1,000% behind me and everything that I stood for, and against what the mainstream wrestling was kind of forcing down their throat as a product. And we all understood that. And just like the fans, I missed the hell out of ECW. It's the best way to expose and exploit my talents. It's my best showcasing environment, always has been, to my benefit or detriment. You know, those of us that are extreme and hardcore, we can't get that out of our hearts. So that, because that, the whole, my whole career leading up to that match was the build up for that match. That's why it makes it so incredible and so stand out.
What I also liked is, like, you know, following your career, I was elated and ecstatic when, back in 2013, when they had announced the contestants for the Money in the Bank, you being a former Money in the Bank winner yourself, but when they announced that you were coming back in the WWE back in 2013 as a contestant for the Money in the Bank match, I remember seeing that arena going absolutely ballistic when your music hit of One of a Kind and you came out in the red suspenders and you came out there ready to kick butt and take names. I wanted you to win that match. So take us back to when you went through Gorilla in that moment, coming back to the WWE after, you know, a short break from it, you know, with your time in TNA and many other promotions, but coming through Gorilla and WWE again, how did that make you feel in that moment in time when you competed for that briefcase?
Well, it made me feel validated, you know, like it was a very welcoming vibration from the crowd. They were all behind me. And, you know, we were in Philadelphia, and that was the heart of ECW. And that's why it made so much sense to make the return there, and why it was, you know, such a good reaction. I would have got a great reaction anywhere coming into the arena that night if it was in you know, Wyoming, but Philadelphia, very special. New York, very special. You know, before the rest of the world was really exposed to RVD on a big stage, a big platform, that was the heart of ECW. And I was wrestling in Japan at the time, even before I went to ECW and other promotions. I was in WCW in 92, 93. But ECW was really something special. Uh-huh. We were so different. And we had that car crash appeal where it was hard to look away because things were crazy. There was fire in the ring, was going out in the crowd. We actually helped launch the whole Attitude Era. And that's where wrestling kind of changed from being, I don't know, so cartoonish or character driven. It's always character driven, but then it went into like the anti-hero, and it was because, you know, we were getting such a good reaction. It was so current, and it was, you know, we actually changed the business. So coming into the Money in the Bank match in 2013, you know, everyone in the building understood all of that. So it was a very welcoming moment.
And, you know, I have to ask, because recently you got inducted to the Hall of Fame back in 2021. And shortly a couple years later, you know, we got to witness Paul Heyman being inducted into the Hall of Fame under, you know, the new era where Triple H is now in charge of the WWE and the product. What was your reaction seeing Paul Heyman's induction and with him coming out with a box and putting on the ECW hat and the moniker of who everyone remembers him as ECW?
Yeah, it was very well done. You know, like so many people afterwards said that was their favorite Hall of Fame speech ever. And I probably agree. You know, Paul, every word that Paul says feels to me like it has intention behind it, you know, and he's thinking about the results that he wants from what he's saying. And that speech proved it, you know, step by step through the whole thing, the big build up to that moment. It was very, very well done. I was proud of him. You know, I'm always proud of ECW, and you know, I also am glad to see him get his flowers, as they say, because when I was part of the invasion angle, which was, I guess, 2001 to 2000. I don't know. I was there anyway after the angle until, I guess, all the way up until 2007, I think, on that run, with the exception of being out in 2005 with a knee injury. But during that time, Paul was my guy. I don't think anybody ever in the industry, actually, as far as agents, bookers, I don't think anybody's ever understood me or looked out for my best interests as much as Paul. And he was the guy. He was the guy in the office that was, when they had their meetings, that was saying, you know, RVD, RVD. And against some of the other guys that are still there that were maybe not so much for me. And so, you know, because Paul was so different from everybody else in the office, I don't think he got the respect from the office. They thought he was crazy, like he's way out there. He had these ideas, you know, that everyone else was like, that's not the wrestling that, you know, they grew up, you know, on. And it was just like, it was so, during that time, I felt like even him pushing me was not helping him unless I was producing. And then it makes him look good. And that's the way that it works there with politics. But for him to go from back then, and then I would see wrestlers pulling him aside, wanting his advice. And I just saw, you know, his respect growing to where they couldn't deny anymore that, you know, the guy knows what he's doing and he's really creative. And then to see him go from his climb, you know, from coming into the WWE as what I saw to go up to being inducted into the Hall of Fame is, you know, again, I use the word validating, because until you get that, you know, there's, I don't know, just that removes all doubt. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to ask, because with the product going the way it is now, you know, especially within the WWE, what's your overall thoughts on, you know, Triple H taking over from Vince as Vince stepped down, you know, with TKO coming in and taking over the brand? Have you been catching up with the product at all? And if so, could we even possibly see a Rob Van Dam return potentially at a Royal Rumble up down the line, or maybe even another run, maybe a title run under Triple H's ownership within the WWE?
You know, Triple H seems to be doing really well from every report that I come across. It seems like they're more successful, they're bigger, they're doing more money. Of course, the big merger and, you know, TKO, bigger company, everything seems to be going in a very positive way. Makes me upset that I had to get rid of my stock in WWE back when I got divorced. That was part of the part of the group ownership kind of thing, but you know, that must be worth like a hell of a lot more than it was back then when I got it, which was, I don't know, 2013-ish, I guess. Mm. But when it was, yeah. So, but they seem to be doing, you know, and they're drawing, you know, huge houses and they're crushing it, you know. So I don't know who's in charge of what, you know, when it comes to creative versus, you know, just approving stuff versus original. I don't know. I don't know how it works, and I don't talk too often to the office. You know, they're still making merchandise of RVD. I got two or three action figures that are released this year, and I'm in a video game, and so I'm still in the family as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. I haven't wrestled in a ring, WWE ring, in quite a while. I am getting asked a lot from the universe outside of WWE, fans, interviewers like yourself, about John Cena's return run.
Yes.
You know, and I've been asked would I be interested in wrestling him, and I said absolutely, and that got some play, that got put out there, and people come back to me, and turns out a lot of people would like to see that, and I would too. And you know, what would make the most sense would be if during John Cena's run, if he happens to be in Philadelphia, because you know, you put all the factors into all these decisions. It's not just, hey, the fans would love to see it, because WWE's mind isn't about that, at least not from what I understand, unless things are changing. You know, I always felt like a lot of my rise was in spite of the agenda. I always felt like maybe they didn't see all the RVD signs in the crowd and notice. And they had ways to keep my ego down by what they were doing with me. And so I always just felt balanced, never felt like I was irreplaceable or anything like that. So, you know, when it comes to, do I think the WWE would put an RVD versus John Cena matchup? I don't know. I know they seem to really like to invest in the guys that are not just there at the moment, but the guys that are going to be there 10 years down the road. At least that's my impression of everything that they're doing. But man, it sure would make a lot of sense if they were in Philadelphia and they wanted to, you know, do something really special. And I got it, you know, I am at 53. I am prospectively in the best shape ever. And so, you know, I am still wrestling. My last few matches that were on TV were in April for AEW. So I don't know if you caught them or not. A lot of the fans caught them. And yes, sir. And a lot of the fans can see that I can still go just like I ever could go. And that's another thing that makes me one of a kind. And I would absolutely love to have that match. And I have no doubt that it would totally meet expectations. We would crush it.
And honestly, it'd be a callback to the first time you guys met at One Night Stand. And, you know,